Okay, this is just going to be a quick update episode where I go through some of the stuff that I've learned over the last couple days. I'm going to share my entire screen. And what we've been doing over the last couple days is this quantum dot country, quantum computing for the very curious, and quantum mechanics distilled. These two essays with the mnemonic medium, which is super cool. Starting with quantum computing for the very curious. One, I didn't come up with an analogy. That was probably bad of me. But summary, the state of a qubit is a 2D vector. And I've got here a link to vectors. So if you've forgotten what a vector is, you can go back and check it out. And the state space of a qubit has two dimensions. And we define our basis states, 0 as the vector 1, 0. That's a column vector. And one as 0, 1. And we say that column vectors are these kets, and we'll talk more about row vectors later. But a superposition is just a linear combination of two states. Usually it's linear combination of zeros and ones for a single qubit, but it could be linear combination of 0, 0 and 1, 1 for two qubits, etc. Amplitude for amplitude is a reference to the coefficients on a state and superposition. So we know that a linear combination is just constants multiplied by vectors, and then you add all of that together. So the amplitude is just whatever those constants are, the coefficients. The norm of the state vector of the qubit always has to be, should be say, that should say must always be one. This preserves probability so that the probability always sums to one. And the quantum state of a qubit is a vector of unit length in a two-dimensional complex vector space known as state space. That was a line directly from the essay that I just pulled out because it summarized it all very well. Here's day two. So we learned about the X gate, which applies the transformation. If you've got some state alpha beta, it goes to beta alpha. The matrix for that is this, which makes sense. If you multiply this by each of our basis vectors, 0 and 1, which are looks kind of like I hat and J hat, you'll see that it just flips them. That makes sense. I wrote that that makes sense based on what we know about visualizing transformations. And putting two quantum gates together corresponds to matrix multiplication. We saw that the composition of transformations is the same as the multiplication of matrices. Learned about this new matrix, the Hadamard matrix, and the Hadamard gate, which creates a superposition. We learned about measurement and the fact that the quantum state equivalent of the classical bit you measure. So if you measure a zero, the quantum state zero is what I'm talking about here. Or if you measure one, the quantum state equivalent of that is the one ket. That's called the posterior state after you measure it. A general single qubit gate can be represented as a 2x2 unitary matrix. And we learned about what unitary means back in the quantum kata, which means that its inverse is the same as its adjoint. X, Y, and Z are the Pauli matrices. We learned about X in the previous, but here's Y and Z. And unitary matrices preserve the length of their inputs is sort of a geometric understanding, which makes sense. It all has to be summed to one. And then bras are row vectors that are the adjoint of the corresponding column vectors. So together you get broquette or bracket notation. So the analogy that was in the essay is that if you want to get from like the northwest part of Africa to the Iberian Peninsula before you have a boat, you gotta go all the way around the Mediterranean Sea. But if you invent this new thing called a boat, you can just, hop over the strait there, and it's much faster. It allows you to move through space in a different way. And that's sort of what quantum computers do, or at least attempt to, is they can move through state space in a different way than classical computers can. Hopefully, you can get certain places faster. Okay. Quantum computing for the very curious, part three. I didn't have much in here. We talked about global phase factor, and how the state vector of a quantum state can be different, have a different global phase factor, but that won't affect the probabilities. It doesn't affect the measurement probabilities at all. And we also talked about why are we doing all this? Why are we doing quantum computers? We talked about if you can efficiently simulate every physical system. And so the analogy here is quantum computers might not be able to simulate certain physical systems. We might find that out at some point, much like how classical computers are unable to efficiently simulate quantum mechanical systems. And then on to quantum mechanics distilled, part one. Bunch of postulates here. If you want the recap, I would just look through the essay to find that. It talks about, the Hamiltonian is, Hamiltonian comes up a lot, so I figured I should probably write it down. Hamiltonian of a system is a Hermitian matrix that describes time evolution in the Schrodinger equation, and Hermitian just means self-adjoint, so the adjoint is the same as the original. So an example of this would be like the X gate. The X gate is self-adjoint. So this is a question that I had, and I got an answer from someone in the Matrix room for quantum computing, which I highly recommend it joining. It's called Quantum Inferiority. I guess I can put I'll put a link in the show notes for this. But yeah, so my question was, in calculating the probability of measuring a zero, we use this formula up here. Probability of zero is our state psi. Over here is a bra, and over here is a ket. And then in the middle, we have these measurement matrices, and we define M0 as this ket and this bra, both the zero state, and we also have this dagger for this, this ket and this bra. And so my question was, why is it the same? Like, why aren't we changing anything? Why aren't we taking the dagger, the adjoint, which is the conjugate transpose, I think I got that right, of each one and multiplying together. So because this will give you a scalar, and this gives you a matrix. And the excellent answer that I got was, we're defining this matrix in terms of this. That doesn't mean that it's necessarily like directly equivalent. So you'll end up with a matrix, and when you take the adjoint of the matrix, you get the same matrix. Doesn't necessarily mean that you can take the adjoint of each of the vectors that we're using to construct our matrix. So I hope that makes sense to everyone. And I hope that if you had a similar question, like why is that allowed, that this was helpful to you. So I'm going to go ahead and stop there. Today, I'm going through I'm going to start on the fourth postulate because I didn't quite get through that, and finish up through to the end of part two of quantum.country, quantum mechanics distilled. And then later in this course, in the next couple days, I believe we'll go through how the quantum search algorithm works, how quantum teleportation works. So yeah, thanks for listening. If you've got questions, if you're going through this with me, or you just want to let me know that you're using the curriculum and that it's being helpful, any of that feedback would be much appreciated. If you listened this far, I appreciate that. Not a lot of people are listening to these episodes nowadays, so thank you. Thanks for listening, and I'll have the next episode out when I get to it.